RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for the Wilms Report here on RCR Tuesday morning. That's when Tim Wilms beams in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne to bring us up to date with all things Aussie, Aussie, Aussie in the last week. Tim, I think are you hiding from the weather at the moment, indoors hiding from the weather?
Yes, us Victorians have been told to bunker down because, well, we thought we were having an early spring, but now we're being subjected to winds of up to 130 kilometres per hour, which we're told is the equivalent to a Category 3 cyclone. And so the Victorian Emergency Management spokespeople have advised us to stay at home, avoid unnecessary travel,
right,
and also recommending people work from home where they can. And of course, this has pricked up pricked up a lot of memories from the COVID lockdowns, because, well, that's where we heard that language before. Although it's not mandatory, it's the same sort of advice. Is this a test for climate lockdowns?
It's nanny language. Okay, so 130 Ks, that's quite gusty, but I come from a place where that's quite regular. So are things flying around the street? Is corrugated iron flying off roofs? How dangerous is it?
It's mainly trees falling, and there sadly was a 63-year-old woman who died when a falling tree crashed on her cabin in Malma, which is on the Victoria-New South Wales border.
And there's that's not good.
A huge hail that is also hitting as well. So it's certainly sensible to avoid the outdoors, but it's what the authorities are telling us, because it brings back obviously a lot of lockdown PTSD, and we had at the beginning of the year back in March the Moomba Labor Day parade cancelled because it was too hot, over 30 degrees, and if the weather's too hot, too cold, too windy, we've got all of this emergency advice. Is it going to become mandatory we need you to compulsory stay at home order to lessen the burden on our special emergency services, the SES, is that's where it's going?
Okay, well, be safe. It will pass. All right, it's been a shocker for Albanese, has it?
Yes, so he is, it seems, rattled, flustered. I brought the news to your audience last week that the Albanese government had decided to ditch proposed questions in the 2026 census on sexuality, gender identity, and variations in sex characteristics. And he was over at the Pacific Islands Forum in Tonga, where he also had a shocker there, which I'll get to in a moment. But his ministers said, they were asked about it all throughout the week, and they said, we wanted to avoid a divisive debate. We didn't want to start a culture, a war issue. But they seem to forget that nobody screams quite as loud as the queer lobby. I know that through personal experience. And so you had there's all of these different groups, Equality Australia, Just Equal, the LGBTQI Health, because this was something that Labor promised at the last elections. It's in its National Party platform. And so they were saying, this is basically, you're making us non-citizens by not counting us in the census. And so they wanted to avoid a cultural divisive debate. It ended up creating one, and their backbench arced up. And so when Albanese got back from the Pacific Islands Forum on Friday, said there would be a question about sexual preference. Maybe we'll look at one about gender identity. But that's, of course, the LGBT lobby. They want all the questions included about sexuality, gender identity, variations in sex characteristics, and journalists have got the inside story that basically the Australian Bureau of Statistics does the census. We're going to hold a press conference last Monday to announce these new test questions, and Albanese saw it and basically had some sort of panic attack and was like, oh God, this is going
I'm surprised.
Which shows that he actually is quite terrified of the TERFs and the gender critical feminists. It seems that they are having and making some impact. Maybe they were picking up the aftermath of the tickle versus giggle reaction to it.
You're probably right, actually, about that. You're probably right, because that's had a lot of coverage. I know we talked to Sal Grover yesterday about it, and she's been all over the map, you know, globally talking about this.
It's interesting, though, it seems to be a bigger story in places like Turf Island over in the UK than here. Though Albanese, he does know what a woman is.
That's a start.
And said that men can't get pregnant, so.
Oh, gosh, fancy him saying that. Yeah, they make a lot of noise. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, if you're him, really, in this situation.
Peter Dutton, the opposition leader, he first said this was part of a woke agenda, that the census questions find the way they are. But when some of his own backbenchers said, yeah, we have no problem with this information being collected, he said, oh, like, we're happy to have these questions included. So sort of he backflipped the next day. But it feeds into that the Albanese government has what's termed Dutton derangement syndrome, because they were scared that Peter Dutton would wedge them on this issue. And they also, the Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers, said that Peter Dutton, he would be the most divisive leader if he would become Prime Minister. And they are rattled, the government as a whole. And the Labor Party tried this a decade ago when Julia Gillard was the Prime Minister against Tony Abbott, saying he was a divisive, negative. So there was another news poll last night, which it's a 50-50 two-party preferred, which would likely be a hung parliament. So they're basically in a state of reaction, which is when this is why they're sort of making panicky decisions on the run.
Good to see them uncomfortable. Now, what was this hot mic incident at the Pacific Islands Forum that captured Albanese? I think it was a Kiwi journalist. What did he say
New
that was
Zealand.
Off Radio New Zealand? At least they've done something. So what was the terrible thing that he was caught on tape saying?
Yeah, so Anthony Albanese announced a $400 million Pacific policing initiative. So $400 million of our money. But it's basically so to try and thwart China having more of these security agreements like there was with Solomon Islands. And so the hot mic recorded and uploaded by Radio New Zealand reporter Lydia Lewis, I'm not sure how well known she is. Albanese was joking with the US Deputy Secretary of State Kirk Campbell that we could go halfies on the policing initiative. I talked to Kevin Rudd about it and we were going to do something, and he asked us not to, so we did not. We've given you that lane. That's what Kirk Campbell said to Anthony Albanese. And so Albanese was very upset about this and lashed out at Lydia Lewis, said the video is what it is. It's up to whoever did that to think about their own ethics when it comes to journalism. And he's forgotten the golden rule of, because it was filmed when there was a break, speak into any microphone as if it were a live microphone.
Treat it like it's live every time.
And Peter Dutton, decade ago also got caught in a hot mic joking about Pacific Islands being flooded because of climate change. So
okay.
It's amazing that these supposedly savvy politicians been in the parliament for 20 plus years make these errors.
I guess it's easy sometimes to let your guard down if you're not thinking of it, particularly if things are quite relaxed. Okay, then. Well, that's a bit of a get for RNZ. I think last week you talked about a gold mine. It was like a head of a pin kind of issue, but that hasn't gone away. So maybe you want to update us on that. Just remind us of that and where that story is now.
The Federal Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, she announced that she was blocking Regis Resources' tailings dam for its McPhillamys gold mine project in the central New South Wales Central West. So this was under Section 10 of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Protection Act because the headwaters of the Balubala River are of traditional significance for the Wadjuri Wadjuri people. Now, she based this on what she was told by this Wadjuri traditional owner, Central West Corporation, which only has 18 members, and its only public figure is Nairi Reynolds, an artist who said she's a very light-skinned descendant of an Aboriginal woman born in the 1820s, and she's now sharing a voice that was silenced many skies ago. And if you typed into ex-Grok, what does an Australian boomer woman look like, there'd be a photo of her.
Okay, so
she's very light-skinned. Now, Tanya Plibersek, she crowed about this, oh, we're protecting Aboriginal cultural heritage, except that the actual Aboriginal-looking Aboriginals have said this is denying our people jobs and economic development. The Orange Local Aboriginal Land Council said the site didn't hold significant sacred value, and this is also annoyed the New South Wales Liberal Premier Chris Minns, who said for this to be knocked over at the 11th hour is disappointing in terms of mining gold and other critical minerals in New South Wales, which we desperately need because coal mining is under pressure. And also Albanese said, well, it's the project is not cancelled, it's just the tailings dam. And you wonder whether he sort of set a trap for Tanya Plibersek because they've been leadership rivals and it was seen giving her as the environment portfolio. She's the member for Sydney, so her seat is under threat from the Greens. He gave it to her as sort of a poison chalice, hoping that she would make some sort of mistake like this, which would cause all of this.
She'd step into it, kind of, and it would go bang in her face. It's kind of relevant if the, as you say, the real Aboriginals are saying that this is not a significant place. You're denying us jobs. I mean, who listens to who? Who has more credibility here?
I think it's pretty clear that who I think if you're going to want to listen to Aboriginal voices, remember that's what the Voice to Parliament was all about. I think there's more Aboriginal voices which are supporting this gold mine than there are opposed.
Right, gotcha. Okay, university backlash, why?
Yes, so the Group of Eight, Australia's elite universities, they are very upset because the Federal Education Minister, Jason Clare, said that international students would be capped next year to only 270,000. So that's a 16% cut of 53,000 fewer places compared with 2023 because they're aiming to reduce net migration to 235,000 because obviously we have, well, it's not just the national housing shortage, but obviously we have infrastructure that is not keeping up and it's certainly not being built in a timely, cost-efficient manner. And for a long time, international students, that's been a backdoor to permanent migration.
Right.
It's claimed that this is going to affect, it's an export to Australia, even though the people are being imported here. And so the university has said, oh, this could have economic impact? And what will the rest of the world think of us, even though we take more international students in per population than the rest of the world compared to United Kingdom, United States, France, Germany, and Canada.
Yeah. And it must affect the bottom line. So in the end, it's all about business, right?
Oh, the money. They're big money spinner.
Yeah, so they're worried about having their budgets crimped, ultimately, I would say.
Yes, and also we have the migrants continuing to rally nationwide, demanding permanent residency. So they rallied in Punchbowl in Sydney's southwest outside the office of Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke, demanding permanent visas. There was also on Sunday the launch in the northern Melbourne suburb of Broadmeadows, the Muslim Votes Matter. It's certainly all of these problems, both in terms of economic and social, mass migration has built up over the 21st century. They're all coming to a head at the moment from all different directions. It's also been revealed that Australia's fall in living standards is the worst in the world.
Gosh, okay. Well, what does the average Aussie think about this, Tim?
Do we know? Well, they know that their grocery bills are continuing to rise. Our inflation rate, it's still hovering 3.6-3.8%, while other nations such as the United States and the UK, I'm not sure how New Zealand's inflation rate is going, have got inflation back to its target level. That's also because their Reserve Bank has only raised interest rates to 4.35%.
Everyone's hurting, I can tell you, ultimately. All right, moving on. So the CFMEU grumpy. They're always grumpy, aren't they? Grumpy again now. What's happened?
Yes, this is the Construction, Forestry and Maritime Employees Union. Its construction division has been placed into administration through legislation that was passed by the Albanese government. It was bipartisan. The coalition opposition helped pass it, and this is because it all started with a 60 Minutes expose called Building Bad, which went into the organized crime figures and members of outlaw motorcycle gangs who'd become officials for the CFMEU, and also recorded that there was a fee for contractors getting a enterprise bargaining agreement, rubber stamped by the CFMEU, to get work on big quid pro. Now, the CFMEU, they've been a massive problem for the Labor Party. And so I think they're pleased to to finally have a justification to take some action. The infamous Victorian Secretary John Setka resigned. Channel 7 Spotlight gave him a right of reply where he downplayed all of this. Now, there were national rallies last Tuesday where there was a coffin with Albanese's name on it saying that they were going to bury the Labor Party at the next election. And then there was an Alba Nazi sign with the Hitler moustache. And so,
gosh, well, that's pretty in your face, isn't it?
Yes, and in Brisbane, the Greens housing spokesman, Max Chandler-Mader, he addressed the rally saying he was supporting due process for the union. He wasn't making apologies for union corruption.
Right. So there's a few people feeling uncomfortable from this. Sort of spreads out a bit, does it?
Well, they're being banned from donating to any political party they're in administration. It's interesting. The new workplace minister, Murray Watt, has said to the CFMEU and other unions who are supporting them, we've passed very union-friendly laws in our time in government. So think about that if you are thinking of destroying our government. So it's sort of a threat of their own. Nice laws you have there. It would be a shame if something were to happen to them.
All right, another rainbow day. Not another one.
Oh, yes. Down here in Victoria, the LGBTQIA,
whatever
acronym, they get whatever they want. So the Equality Minister, Harriet Singh, she, of course, was very upset about the census.
Yeah, right. That we talked about before.
Yeah, yep. So she wrote to her federal counterpart. So last Friday, 30th of August, it was Wear a Purple Day to support LGBTQI youth. And so schools and business encouraged to wear purple to show this. Yeah, it's...
It never stops, does it? Never stops. Come on. Talk about overplaying your hand.
And this was one... aimed specifically at, well, minors, youth is the term.
Yeah, always after the kids.
And so Harriet Singh, the Equalities Minister, and fun fact, she is married to the woman who was Dan Andrews' Chief of Staff, Lizzie Ratcliffe. So they're a very power couple in the Andrews government.
Okay.
So allocated $14,000. So the state, we all thought the state was broke, but there's still a spare $14,000 to develop a rainbow toolkit for public libraries in Victoria. And so this is aimed at children as young as five, asking if they identify as she, he, or they. And library staff will be told to ask children what their preferred pronouns are.
Oh, crikey.
Gendered language, offer pronoun badges, pins, or lanyards, are encouraged to hire drag queens to have drag queen story time. It is said that children in particular may want to experiment with different gender expressions through dressing up, and we can support them by avoiding mapping our expectations of gender.
Oh, go away. Someone needs them to tell them to piss off is what I think.
And as up in New South Wales, there was a childcare centre in Parramatta, I remember I told your audience, that had a rainbow lessons in childcare. So they're starting them very, very young.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that makes me so uncomfortable. Sorry for saying the P word, but let's move on to something that's not that. Metro tunnel blowout, another blowout, big surprise, right?
Yes. I spoke to your audience about this last week. Well, Sydney's Sydney Metro is open and is very popular. We will have to wait here probably until the end of next year. So it was originally budgeted at $10.5 billion. Then it was blew out to $14 billion. Now it's blown out to $15.5 billion. So the tunnels themselves have been built. It's just completing the stations, particularly the CBD one, the State Library and Town Hall.
Has anyone explained to him how these costs can go up by so much? I mean, $1.5 billion is a lot of money. We talked about inflation before. This is way beyond that, isn't it? What the hell's going on?
She's blamed Jacinta Allen, the Premier, labour shortages and material shortages. I guess it wasn't a good idea to lock down the entire world for 2 years.
Right.
Which, of course, crippled international supply chains, which, of course, Victoria did its bit to cripple economic.
Yeah, but what are we talking about? Concrete, seating, what, turnstiles? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well,
I expect you to know, but I just wonder.
I'm not sure. But, yeah, like I said, the tunnels themselves are complete, and we've got three of the stations complete. It's just that they're having trouble with these two CBD stations. It probably didn't help last week in the Melbourne CBD that work was delayed because there was this machete wielding man who jumped onto one of the Metro Tunnel sites and then stripped naked. And so work was delayed because of that. And
golly.
I know. I just, it's people were thinking. I know that, yeah. we're upset about the cost blowouts, but that's a bit much.
Woo, okay. And
also, there's also lawyers have been called in by the Allen government to look to rejig its suburban rail loop, which, well, it's currently budgeted at $35 billion. So I think you can probably...
Is that the one where they can't go very fast because of the...
No, this was the Metro Tunnel.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
This is the one that's about creating 15-minute cities all of Melbourne's suburbs. So that will probably blow out because it's all underground. They could also have a problem with electromagnetic interference because it's going through Monash Medical Precinct. So,
oh, that's right. That's what you told us.
So you don't want to think about how much that's going to cost. So this is, again, another reason why Victoria is pretty much broke.
I guess that could affect the MRI scans and things like that, right? You know.
Yes. This is the main issue.
Yeah. All right. New South Wales Liberal MP resigns. Why?
So this is the member for Pittwater, Rory Amon. He has resigned from the Liberal Party and the Parliament after he was charged with sexually assaulting a 13-year-old boy back in 2017. And he is actually the second former New South Wales Liberal MP to be charged with a sexual offence. So Gareth Ward, who was the New South Wales Liberal Minister for Family and Community Services.
Family and Community.
Yeah, so he was he amazingly got re-elected as the member for Kiama at the 2023 state election.
Yeah.
Running as an independent, even after he was charged with the rape of a 17-year-old boy and a 27-year-old male. And there had been red flags with Gareth Ward. He claimed that he was the victim of extortion in New York when he ordered a massage and claimed two underage men turned up and were filming him to extort him. And he claimed, "I didn't order a special massage." And then later on, he was apprehended by the police for wandering outside of his inner Sydney apartment naked.
Oh, did he have any explanation for that?
Well, apparently it was medication that made him do it.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Rory Amon, he was the shadow minister for youth affairs.
These associations and it's so inappropriate sounding.
Yes. And so it had occurred in this alleged a sexual assault of a 13-year-old boy had occurred in 2017 when he was about to run for local government. He was also in family law. That was his job before he became a politician. A friend of the Unshackled, Kyle Kutazi, who was on the New South Wales Liberal State Executive before he was expelled for some weird reason, said that he was contacted by a journalist back in April 2023, just after Rory Amon had just been elected, there was this ongoing investigation because it began in 2022. And so he said for Liberal Party to say that they were blindsided by this is just not true. Well, it seems the New South Wales Liberal Party might be giving the BBC a run for its money with the number of, New South Wales Liberal Party, two alleged predators, i.e. sexual offenders, have been exposed. And they're also dealing, the New South Wales Liberal Party, with the fallout of failing to lodge nomination forms for 140 local government candidates.
How did they miss that one? It sounds like an epic admin fail there.
Well, you can see that sort of who slipped through there.
Yes, you can, can't you? Yeah.
Something is very, very bad in the New South Wales Liberal Party. It's amazing that they sort of were in government for 12 years, given their incompetence of their administrative committee.
All right, let's finish up on this one. Northern Territory election aftermath. I remember the guy with the funny eyes.
Oh, Michael Gunner, Crazy Eyes Gunner,
who said
that if you're anti COVID vaccine mandate, you are anti-vax, and said,
"That's right."
I said about personal choice, quote, "Shove it, stuff it."
Okay, well, let's see.
He resigned in 2022 to spend more time with his family. Then Natasha Files was elected as his replacement. Then she resigned because she had shares in a mining company, but I think that was an excuse because she was very unpopular due to mishandling of the crime in Alice Springs and other remote Indigenous communities. And of course, she got famously craped in the face outside her electorate office by an angry member of the public. Then she was replaced by Eva Lawler, who lost her seat at the territory election, which was not the Saturday just passed, but the Saturday before, and also the seat held by used to be held by Michael Gunner was also lost to the Country Liberal Party. So Leah Fanocchiari, leader of the Country Liberal Party, is the new chief minister, and one of her first policies is to reverse the raising of the criminal age of responsibility from 14, put it back down to 10. And of course, the
10.
Well, the thing is, though, young people aren't imprisoned for shoplifting a Snickers bar from the local supermarket.
Okay. It's
if it's a violent offense against a person. So,
still 10 is just a kid. Yeah.
So obviously, there have been cases where children have murdered other children, and they're still charged with murder. So we were told with the raising of the criminal age of responsibility, they can still be charged with these serious offences. So it sort of argues, what's the point? So I think this is just sort of setting being part of a package that we're not going to be soft on youth offenders. It sort of seems to me that the people who are decrying that 10-year-olds could be locked up, they'd be fine with the 11-year-old who was charged with far-right rioting in the UK. I mean, there's been the UK police paraded that 11-year-old boy on their social media. So I guess that's okay. And also down in Victoria, it's okay to fine children for not wearing a mask, because that's what happened in Victoria.
Well, they actually fined kids, did they?
Yes, they did. There goes their pocket money. These types, they're very selective about which youth offenders they're outraged about being imprisoned or prosecuted or fined.
Wow. Epic. Well, Tim, I think we've come up against time. I think we've got a pretty good idea of what's happening where you are. And now, remember, don't go outside, Tim. Wait till the wind dies down. Yeah, like some sort of leaf in the wind. We want you back next week, okay? So go careful. Listen to the advice, okay?
Yes, although I don't need the beer. Well, it's not Big Brother government, it's Big Sister in Victoria. I don't need her to tell me to be careful in the wind.
Just remember, it's for your own well-being.
Of course it is, just like the COVID lockdowns were.
Yeah.
They're only thinking of you,
Tim. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Good to chat again. Let's do it again in a week. Thank you, Tim Wilms.
Thank you, Paul. I'll stay safe.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.